Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you, everyone, this morning to this morning's message. God has laid on my heart to continue to speak about John the Baptist as I have the last few Sundays. And I want to, this morning, bring out what God has laid on my heart to share with you the things of John, a little bit more. Not everything. I know I can't cover it all this morning, but I want to share a few more things with you this morning. But first of all, a hearty welcome, as I said, to each and every one that is listening in. May God bless you. And as this message comes forth, as I shared this morning with a sound man as I came to church, I said, I feel so unworthy and so empty. And so, God, that I must decrease so that he can increase. And so, this morning, we want to start off and we want to go to the Lord and get underneath his wings so that he's over all of this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of what I shared here about that I must decrease so that you, O God, and your Son Jesus can increase. The same thing and the same words were shared by John the Baptist, he knowing that there was still one mightier and more powerful than him, a bigger prophet, a greater man than any mankind. Lord, I acknowledge that every one of us and everyone listening, we are not greater than your Son, Jesus. There is only one that's greatest of all, and that is Jesus. God, we thank you. Thank you for possibly encouraged, maybe even being admonished, being lifted up by your word. And Lord, this morning, I pray that you would, with your spirit, come down on every one of us. And that you would bless this message in a way that you can get the honor and the glory for it all. I thank you, and I just pray for your blessing upon this morning. Bless every heart, every listener, everyone that's out there, Lord, that has a desire to be filled with your word. And with your spirit, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would not be withheld, but they would all be find encouragement from your word. Bless this hour to your will and us to your service. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a man called John. And yes, maybe your thoughts will go to John the Baptist. And I don't want to start there right now. But I want to speak about a man called John the Apostle. He writes the book of St. John. And he's one that wrote about John the Baptist. He records records. He records things that have happened so that we could understand the sayings of John the Baptist, of Jesus, and others, and of who Jesus actually is. But he records it very interesting, the information. And then further down in the book of John, the second last chapter, John says this, and it's just shortly before he closes his last chapter. But the second last chapter, verse 30 and 31, John 20, verse 30 and 31, John records this and he says, He says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So can you imagine if there was a lot more written about Jesus, how much bigger this book would be to read? But he does say this in verse 31, John acknowledges this. He says, but these are written. He wrote these. These were inspired to him by God, and they were important to him. And so he wrote these, and he says, these are that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. That's why I'm writing these things, he says. I want you to believe in Jesus. I want you to believe in the Son of God. I'm bringing things out so that you will understand who this Son is, who Jesus Christ is. And then he goes on in the end of that verse, and he says that believing ye might have life through his name. Isn't that beautiful? But we can have life through his name. He wants, John, the Apostle John, wanted people to know that there was life, and it was only through the name of Jesus Christ. And that was his purpose. That was his reason for writing this, that many could have that word. And today, it is there for us to read. I want to go back. John the Baptist, and speak a bit more about him. Last Sunday, I closed with saying that I wanted to share a little bit of through the hardness. But I want to fill in a few other things first and then speak about a little bit about what John had to go through. John, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, as I said, he writes this book called St. John. And in the beginning, the first verses, he talks about the Word and how it was right from the beginning, and he's speaking about Jesus himself. But then he goes on in verse 6, and he starts talking about John. He starts off with him in explaining what and who John was. And he says in verse 6 that John was one, he was a man that was sent by God, and that his name is John. And the reason for his sending was to be a witness, to bear witness of Jesus Christ, to bear witness of the light, that they might believe. And so John was sent forth to proclaim this Jesus, to lead people to believing in this Jesus, in this light. And then John, the Apostle John, also records that this John that came to bear witness, he's not the light. He is not Jesus, verse 8, but he's there to bear the witness of the light. And then verse 9, that the true light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Which light? Jesus himself. That was the true light who John came to bear witness of. So John now goes on. Skip a few verses. But John goes on now, and he says, Apostle John writes, and he says, John bear witness of him, verse 15, and he cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. This morning, I want to look at three things briefly. The one is to be his voice, to be the voice that we are to be. This will make it straight. And then thirdly, to bear record. Again, in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 37 are the words that I want to start off with, and I'll read the following. John chapter 1, verse 19 to 37. Apostle John writes, and he says, this is the record of John, John the Baptist he's talking about. He says, when the Jews, they were sent, priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who art thou? And so they were sent and asking, who art thou, John? And then John, he confessed, and he denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. To stop and think here a little bit, it doesn't tell us what question they asked exactly, but I take to understand because he says, I am not the Christ. I believe they came to ask him, are you the one that we're waiting for? Are you that Christ? And he confessed and he denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not that one that you think I am. So they go on and they ask him the next thing. What then? If you're not the Christ, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Okay, if you're not Elias, you're not Christ, art thou then the prophet? And he answered and said, no. Then they go on and they say to him, then who are you? Who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. They were sent to go back and give an answer to these men. And so they ask him, who art thou? And then they ask him, what sayest thou of thyself? And then John the Baptist speaks and he says, of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and they said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet, as with water? But there is one standing among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes, latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Before I want to go on here, I want to just make a little bit of a note. John says that Jesus is the one that's preferred before him. And then he goes on, he says, I'm not worthy to bend down to undo the shoes of Jesus' feet, of his sandals. Take the sandals off his feet. You see, as I understood and as I was doing some research, the lowest of low people would be the ones that would, when tired, they would get down and they would untie the shoes of that person, take them off and wash their feet. And John felt even lower than that, not feeling even worthy to do that. And I believe he also refers to one place in Scripture that he could not even carry those shoes. He was not one to fill those shoes. He didn't have that to fill those shoes that Jesus Christ did. Going on, verse 29. Remember, this is the first day. This is the first day that these men have come. They've asked John the Baptist these things. And then the next day, excuse me, people. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him. And John speaks out and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said. He's still speaking to those same people that were sent. And he says to them, this is the one who I was talking about. Verse 30, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, and then he goes on and he tells the people, I was there baptizing him, in other words. And he says to them, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. It was not a dove that came down on him, but he saw the Spirit coming down as a dove and sitting over him. And it abode upon him. He says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear record. And then the third day, on the verse 35, it says, again the next day, that would have been the third day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus. You see, John, right there, had a beautiful time to share a message with these men that came to him. He had such a perfect situation, first of all, to explain it to them. And then when Jesus did come, he could tell them, hey, that's the one. That's the one. And at the end, two men, two disciples, they heard this, what John said. What did they do? They followed Jesus. John was a voice. John was one to spread the word. John was questioned. John was questioned by these men that were sent to ask if he was the one or not. Verses 19 to 23. As I read before, John said to them, I am not. I am not the Christ. I am not Elias. I am not the prophet. For they had asked him if he was one of these. In verse 20 again, it tells us that John confessed, that he was not the Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 27 to 36, we see that the people have come to John and they respect him highly, and they talk to John the Baptist, and they're asking him certain things. But then it says in verse 27, John 3, verse 27, that John is answering them back, and he says, a man can receive nothing except bear me witness, John is talking about himself, that I said, I am not the Christ. You were there, I told you, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. With him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You see, John is using an example, and he says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom here? Jesus is that bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. Who is the bride? All those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But as a friend, he's referring to himself. But he says, the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Going on, as I've shared before, in verse 30, is a beautiful words that John uses, as I shared. And John says, he must decrease. But John says, I must decrease. I must come lower so that Jesus can increase. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his Son, into his hands. And then, John says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John is explaining that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of the Father. He is the light. He is one that will increase. And John wanted to be seen as less important. John was setting the way. John was making the way straight. John was trying to make the way clear. This is how it is. This is what it will be. It is not me. It is Jesus. So what other example could we use of John himself being very stern and very straightforward with what? With the clearness of this is exactly how it is and how it should be. Now, John himself goes out and he preaches, and as we see it, and we can read it in Luke chapter 3, and he's very bold. He lays it out very clearly. It's about in Isaiah chapter 40. He speaks there and he tells them that, you know what, this is Luke chapter 3, verse 4. He's referring to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. There he says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Make his path straight. And then he goes on and he says, "And every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John was come to be that voice. John was come out of the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. I, in my own mind, I try to imagine this a little bit for Jesus. The mother in their womb. But somewhere along the line, and I don't know where, it doesn't record that, John must have been taken by his parents into the wilderness. And that's where he spent his life, eating locust and wild honey. And he grew up on that. And the way I see it is that possibly John and Jesus never got to see each other from the birth of John till roughly the age of 30. And then all of a sudden, there's one man called John. He comes out of this wilderness and he comes into the cities and he preaches repent. He preaches repentance to them. And he's very straightforward, and he warns them, and he tells them in verse 5, he says, "Every mountain and every hill, there is no such thing that you can put yourself above God. There is no such thing as that you're going to be able to figure that or think that you are higher than the Creator." And so, I believe, when I look back to Malachi does speak about how there's going to be one coming to purify, and they're going to speak to Levites, the priests. And when we look at Scripture and we read through that, we find that how much there is referred to leaders of the congregation, that they thought themselves high. They have thought themselves high. And here, what I understand here is that John is saying, you're going to be brought down. You are not up here anywhere. You are going to be brought down low. Deke yourself around and it's still okay. And John the Baptist says to them in verse 5, he says, "The crooked shall be made straight. There is no such thing as, well, let's wind around these boxes and it's okay if I, you know, go around this way or that way. John says it's going to be straight. This is what it is. This is what's going to be. And the rough ways, you know, when we're going through things and it's tough, it'll be made smooth. And then the interesting thing says, John is very vocal, very clear and strong with his voice. It goes on, verse 6 and on, and he says, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him." They're coming now to get baptized. And what does he call them? He calls them snakes. He says to them, verse 7, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Baptized? And he calls them vipers. He calls them snakes. So what did they do? Just come to be baptized and not really repent? Why am I saying that? Because verse 8, he says it. He says, "Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." Bring something that's worthy of repentance. "And begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abram to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abram." And then note something that I've never really understood till just recently. Verse 9 says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." He's saying that axe has now already come down. Maybe the tree, we as a tree, haven't fallen over yet. But he is very stern with them and says, "Guys, you need to repent, but you have to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And don't come as snakes. Don't come as vipers. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is right there. The axe is laid on the root. It is now is the time." Then the people ask him, and they say, "What shall we do?" And he answered, and he says to them, wow, this is powerful stuff. He says to them, he says, "That one that let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." The publicans, they come and to be baptized, and they said to him, "Master, what should we do?" And he says it to them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you." In other words, you don't ask for more money than what is appointed to you. You do the exact thing. Then the soldiers likewise come to him, and they said to him, "What shall we do?" And he said to him, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, but be content." And he said, "You know what? People, you've been cheating. You have been doing things without love. Whatever you do, in other words, do them in a godly way, in a Christ-like way." Now, as I said, I was going to speak a little bit about, he's been very brave here to tell them, but there's one person that came up that cost him his life, and Herod. John was bold as they came to him, and John says to Herod that is not him. Tells us there that John, Matthew has recorded what John has said, and John has said there in Matthew 14:4, he says, "And John said unto him," unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." To have whom? That was his brother's wife. It was not right. He was committing adultery. In Mark chapter 6, verse 18, Mark writes it this way, "For John said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brothers." He is telling him, in other words, you are committing adultery, as I said. And then it goes on in verse 19 of Mark chapter 6, Mark 6, verse 19. Our words, she's upset, she's discouraged, she's possibly even angry. It doesn't tell us that, but possibly. She has a quarrel now against John. and she wants him killed. And then the opportunity comes when there was a birthday going on, and Herodias' daughter dances in front of Herod, and Herod offers her to give her what she pleased. And she goes to her mom and asks her mom, what should we do? And her mom says, I want ask him for the head of John the Baptist. And so what am I saying here? John is brave, John is bold, and John does tell the people exactly how it is. But he was a voice. He was the voice of one that went forth and to prepare the way of Jesus, and to tell people to make the way straight, to beat around the bush, and then to bear witness of the light. John was there, as I read in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 32 to 37, that he was there to bear witness, to bear record, verse 34. And as Jesus came, as I said before, he acknowledged it to the other people, and he says, look, this is Jesus. Behold, he's the Lamb of God. And people, as it tells us there, two of them followed Jesus Christ. Question I have. Of these three points that I talked about, number one, to be the voice. Number two, to make straight the way. And number three, to bear record of the light. Where do I fit in? Where do you fit in? Am I that voice? Have you and I not also been sent when we have record of things, information that we know, to be the voice and the feet of Jesus? Are we the ones to prepare the way of Jesus' second coming? Am I bold enough to go out and tell others? Or do I fear my life that I will be beheaded like John the Baptist? Am I the voice of one crying, making straight the way? Get out straight when it's wrong. If I look at the government things that they're talking about, if we will be bold and speak about that is wrong to live a homosexual life, it could cost us jail term and who knows what's next. Am I willing to lay my life on the line to make the way straight and tell people? They came to ask John, and John did not beat around the bush. He told them. And then he bare record of the light. Jesus came to bring salvation. Am I one also to be able to say, behold, it's a Lamb, and that's the one I'm following. Behold, it's a Lamb of God that I believe in. Behold, it's a Lamb of God that came and he died for our sins. He's the one that came, as Malachi chapter 3 wrote about, that John was one supposed to go ahead and prepare the way of the one that is to come, and that he's going to come as a refiner to refine the silver and gold. Jesus used John, God used John, to prepare the way for Jesus the first time. Now God is wanting to use us to prepare the way, to be that voice, to make things straight, and to bear record of the light in our life, our walk, our talk. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to lay our life down? We will have prepared the way for his coming, so that there are those that will come and will follow Jesus because of us bearing record. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the word. I have my weakness. but with the words of yours that are scriptures shared this morning. A powerful story, a powerful happening of John the Baptist, not fearing death, but rather going out, being the voice for Jesus, being the voice for God, spreading the word, telling people, this has to be only one way. We have to make this straight. We cannot think ourselves higher or lower or anything. There's only one way, and we have to go straight, Lord. That was his message. And then he bare record. As Jesus came, he was not ashamed. He did not turn his back and say, oh, I don't know him. But he said, that is the one. He is the Lamb of God. I bear record. I saw that Spirit coming down upon him and resting on him. Today, Lord, help us. If we are believers, help us to be the voice. Help us to make it straight. Make our life show that. Bear the record of the light that is to come. Thank you for being here this morning. Bless everyone that's listening this morning, and may they just take this word of yours and may it just flow through them to be the voice and the light to make that way straight for many that have not accepted Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, I want to thank you, and may we be a blessing to others. And so I want to close with a benediction, and I want to thank you, as I said, to listen in this morning. But I want to close with the benediction out of Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, to present you faultless God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless you.